Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. I have two guests today, Dr. Michelle Galanti and Neil McCoy, who is a young person who was healed from addiction of prescription drugs. Dr. Galanti is presenting the topic of healing on the spiritual path through the teachings of Bruno Gröning and the non-profit work of the Circle of Friends. So, may I invite Dr. Michelle and Neil onto the program.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Quincy.
Well,
yes,
you're
thank
very
you for
welcome.
Having us, Mr. Quincy.
I'm very, very pleased to have you here. Dr. Michelle.
My name is Michael, by the way.
I beg your pardon?
My name is spelled the Italian spelling of it's M-I-C-H-E-L-E, which is really Michele, but in English would be Michael.
Okay, so you prefer I call you Michael?
That's fine.
Fine, great. Okay, I wasn't sure about that. Well, now that we've mentioned the topic that you're going to talk to us about, it might be a good place to start by telling us how you first came across the work of Bruno Gröning, because I should explain to our listeners that his activities go back quite a long way, I think, to the last mid-century, and how you came to get so involved in it. Tell us the background to all this, please.
Yes, I've always been very interested in spiritual things throughout my whole life. I've tried many different spiritual paths, and so I was had a call here at my office from someone from Germany, and they asked me if I wanted to attend a lecture, and I said, well, what's it about? They said, spiritual healing. I said, of course, how much does it cost? You know, trying to weed out the profiteers as
yes.
I feel that spiritual healing and it should be coming from the highest source and shouldn't have to be paid for. So they said, no, there's nothing, there's no cost. And I said, good. Well, then how much does it cost later on? So they said, no, not later on either. I said, really? Well, who's giving the lecture? What, medical doctor. Really, a medical doctor is going to talk about spiritual healing? Where's he coming from? Germany. I mean, he's flying over here to give me a talk about spiritual healing. There's no financial gain. So I said, well, I guess if I claim to be interested and try to be a spiritual person, I have to go. So I called a patient of mine. I took my wife. She's a nurse educator. And we went. And, you know, not necessarily expecting or not expecting anything, just open-minded. And we sat there. And sure enough, I started to feel something. And I said to my wife, do you feel something? She said, I think I feel something. And I turned to my patient. I said, you feel something? She says, yeah, I feel something. So right away, we felt something. And in fact, I mean, I didn't go there for healing. I went there for just to be part of something that's, you know, that may be good. And I walked out of there, and I was able to move my shoulder around at 180 degrees, whereas before I could only lift it up my right shoulder above, up to, you know, parallel with the ground. And my hip that had been bothering me, I've been limping around with it, and that also, I was able to walk pretty nicely with it. And I wasn't looking for any healing, and sure enough, I actually got a healing right there, and I hardly felt it. So I shook hands with Dr. Vogelsberger, and we parted friends, and then as luck would have it, they missed their plane next week, and I got a chance to actually go to a second introductory lecture, the same thing over again, and again we felt it.
Hello?
So,
hello, Mr. Jordan.
Then we were invited to a community hour and also a regional conference. And in the regional conference, there were about 125 people or so there. And I really started to feel an incredible amount of energy, and we called it Heilstrom, coming from the group and from our friends that came from Germany to conduct this conference. And his name was Dr. Kamp, Matthias Kamp, who wrote a wonderful book called it escapes me right this moment, but it's a wonderful book on spiritual healing, and based upon the work of Bruno Gröning, who lived and died in Germany in the earlier part of last century. And he was, and we'll get to talk about him. But there was a great amount of energy in that conference, and I had another healing with the conference. Of course, it was a 2-day conference, and I just started feeling so much, filling my heart and my whole body. Of course, I had had a lot of training before, you know, with yogic type training and Kundalini training, and how to absorb energy. So I was really able to absorb very, very consciously. And I started to feel so much peacefulness, so deep in my heart that I had been craving my whole life. I mean, I'm 61 now, and I was living in a yoga community at 22. So I had been really seeking earnestly and with you know, strong disciplines. I mean, I had a Zen program in Sing Sing prison for a couple of years. That was a volunteer program, and I was there twice a week, and we did Zazen. And so with intense meditative type practices, and so now, so I decided with this healing, the second healing that I had, and all the beautiful, wonderful feelings I had in my heart of peacefulness, I decided that I would stick with the group and out of gratitude. So that's my story.
Right. That's very interesting. Do I understand from your comments that the healing you received was group healing rather than directly from Bruno?
Well, you know, all healing in my heart, I've always felt that all healing came from God. And also Bruno said that. Don't thank me, thank God, because God is the healer. I'm nothing more. He said, I'm nothing more than a little transformer. In other words, a conduit, a pathway through which the higher power will flow, through this healing stream or heil stream will flow. And so he taught us to do what we call Einstein, which is translates into tuning in, which is a meditative slash prayerful practice. And so Bruno Gröning, people feel that the healing power flows from God through Bruno to us, and I believe that as well myself.
Yes, yes.
He said that after he dies, the healings will continue, and that's exactly what happened. We have a lot of healings that we document, and that's one of the reasons why I'm so involved is because I'm a physician, and we have a number of physicians in the medical scientific group, which is a part of the group, and we document healings. And sort out the real ones from the imaginary ones and so on. And we make sure that they're in order and proper documentation if we can get it, and witness reports and so on. So that these documents, that's what Bruno said. He said, don't thank me. If you want to thank me, just write it down and we'll put it in the archives. And so there are thousands of healings. And when he was alive, there were thousands of healings that were conducted by him personally. I mean, it all started when he was in Hereford, Germany, and someone invited him. They had heard about him. They invited him to their home, and they had a child who couldn't walk, who had a neuromuscular problem. I think it was muscular dystrophy. And within a few days of him visiting, the boy was able to get up and start to walk again. Mm-hmm. Now, needless to say, the family was so thrilled, and that this news traveled like wildfire. And before they knew it, there were thousands of people that were gathering outside the home in Hereford, and he was standing up on the balcony doing mass healings with all these people. And so that's where Bruno Gröning started to gain notice by the public. And he caused quite a stir. And, of course, the doctors were branding him, they didn't believe it. And authorities, the local authorities were permitting it because they were happy to see their friends and neighbors getting healed. But then after a while, it became unwieldy with so many people in a small town like that. So authorities said, well, you know, we can't have this. And so again, he kind of went over to a place called the Traberhof, which is a racetrack nearby, to kind of get some rest, to get some respite. and they found out he was there, and then more and more thousands of people came, and they estimated there were about 30,000 people that came to the Traberhof that were in the infield of this racetrack, and he went again, did the same thing. He went up on the balcony, and he told the people to separate themselves a little bit from each other and to stay still. And he would stand there, and he stood there silently maybe for an hour, and then he would talk to them, and he would say, you know, to them, get up, you can walk. And there were healings of blindness and deafness. It was extraordinary. It was like a biblical scene. And journalists were sent there to debunk this whole thing, and they went away believers, you know. So the Circle of Friends still to this day operates without any, we operate on donations. You know, people do give their donations to help support the community hours. We have communities all over the world in 70 countries. We have about over 2,000 communities. And as I said, there's a medical scientific group with doctors and other medical people who are documenting this. And so we were on this radio show to invite others to come to the website. Just type in Bruno Groening, G-R-O-E-N-I-N-G, and you can find out how to. Someone will contact you if you could just follow the directions there. And there are movies there. There's beautiful original classical type musical pieces that were composed and performed by the friends of Bruno. We have children's groups, especially, we don't have any here in America yet. This is something we're hoping for. There are groups that are for addictions, and we're going to hear from our good friend about his previous addictions. And, you know, there's alcoholism, healings of alcoholism and drugs and so on. We have a lecture series that's been going on all over the world, and they've been flying physicians all over to talk about this. So part of the donations go towards supporting the doctors' flights to different countries and so on. Next year, I'm going to be flying with several of the friends to South America. We'll be going to 11 capital cities all over South America. It will take us about a month, and we'll be lecturing there, introducing people in all these countries in Peru and Chile and Argentina and Brazil and Colombia and Paraguay and Ecuador and so on, introducing them to the teachings of Bruno Groening and how to do Einstein and how to form communities. And so this is the great joy of myself and my wife. We're involved with two communities locally here, one in Wayne, New Jersey, and one we traveled to Philadelphia. And although the Circle does help reimburse us for our gas, like to Philadelphia, I mean, you know, we do it, it's our own time, and we don't get paid, and we're doing it because of out of gratitude, and because we feel this energy, and we feel the growth that's taken place within us, and the happiness, and the peacefulness, and all the goodness that we've had. So you know, you can look at Bruno, you can say, well, what was this man like? You know, I guess if you were a Christian or a Catholic, you'd say, well, he was very much like a saint. And so we look at him that way, as a pure soul coming down. Of course, don't forget, he started his healings just after World War II in Germany.
Yes.
In Germany, of course, the Germans were devastated by the war just as much as the other countries were. And so, I mean, there were a lot of people who needed healing back then. And in a sense, it seems appropriate that the good Lord in his great wisdom would send someone down to help in areas of devastation like that. And terrible, yes, terrible yes, suffering, so... But I'm a little bit going on and on here. So is there something else that you'd like to say, Mr. Quincy?
No, it's great to hear what you have to say. After all, you are the guest on the show. You know, that's wonderful. naturally, I have got things I would like to ask, and I will mention to our listeners that you personally have been involved or have had a serious illness which you recovered from. I believe you would correctly call that through self-healing. Now, from what I've read of your experience, that required a lot of faith on your part. Would you like to tell us how you overcome the medical condition that you had?
Well, I, you know, thank God my medical condition was not as severe as it could have been. But I'll try to be brief with it because, you know, I do have it all in great detail in my head. But basically, that conference that we went, I had suffered from angina pectoris for a couple of years that was moderate to severe at times, during times of very strong exercise. For example, I had tried to revive my Aikido career. I had done that for many years before and taught it for a while. And, you know, after a big layoff of being, you know, being a doctor and having a family and so on, over decades, it was hard to get back into doing it. And I would have quite a bit of chest pain with this very vigorous martial art where you're doing a lot of rolling and throwing and getting thrown and flap falls. And, I mean, it was really, really vigorous. And so sometimes I'd be in the corner huffing and puffing, you know, and people would come over to me and ask me if I was all right, you know, and I just say, yeah, I just need to rest. And I would get these chest pains that would be pretty strong. Being a physician, you know, I knew that when they subsided with rest, that was basically, you know, it was basically diagnostic, you know, chest pains, which during exertion that extended to my arm, extended to my neck on the left side. It was pretty clear cut. Anyway, yes. So I've been suffering from that. And then I went to that conference, as I told you, and I took all this energy in. And as I said, the peacefulness in my heart, a lot of that energy was going into my chest, into my emotional, spiritual heart center. And I felt it, you know, really going in there and just doing something that and going in areas and filling areas that had been closed before. I don't know for how long. Maybe, who knows, if you believe in reincarnation, maybe for lifetimes.
Yes,
but
yes.
I just never felt such goodness and kind of purity of and lightness there, you know, light and lightness. So the next day, I came back from Aikido. I mean, after the conference, the next day I had gone to Aikido that night. I came back home to do Iceland with my wife. We do Iceland at 9 and 9, if we can, you know. So 9 p.m. I was rushing up the stairs, and I realized I didn't feel too good, and I was unable to do the Einstein with my wife, and I started getting this pain, and the pain started getting stronger, and I started getting a little bit concerned, and my wife was quite concerned, being a nurse and all, and at one point I said, you know something? This is not a heart attack. I'm not having a heart attack. This is part of a healing crisis. You know, because I'm a medical doctor, but I do homeopathy, and, you know, in homeopathy we talk about healing crises all the time, you know, where you get a little worse before you get better, you know. So something in me after, you know, taking care of people for so many decades with this type of therapy, you know, feeling like, you know, okay, of course, you know, but when you're in the middle of it, right? So I did not call the ambulance. Now, if this ever happens to anybody out there with what we call regulation pains, please call the ambulance and... You know, just don't be like me. I think I'm very stubborn that way. I didn't want to. I felt assured in my heart that I wasn't going to die, and that it really wasn't the thing of getting worse. After all, I just had this wonderful thing yesterday, and I didn't think I was going to go. But it was overwhelming, and I really was terribly sick. And so I went to bed and. I put a little picture of Bruno on my chest facing inward, and I decided, okay, if I'm really a spiritual guy, I'm going to let go of this. I'm going to even let go of the healing crisis, you know? I'm going to surrender that too, because I believe surrendering to God and surrendering to these higher powers are the way to grow spiritually. So I surrendered it. I took all my might. I was relaxed. My whole body was relaxed. But with all my might, I tried to let go of what was going on, and I did. I let go of the thing. It went away. And I felt this great sense of peace. I mean, tremendous sense of peace and like kind of like free-floating in space inside. But then it came right back. It kind of slammed back at me. And I did that three times. And I was able to... And I felt that loosened it a little bit, so to speak.
Yes.
And then at that point, I started going to the John, to the restroom. And I was having symptoms of I guess you could probably call it cleansing with you know, hurling above and then from below as well. And I did that all night until about 5 o'clock in the morning where I fell asleep. And then I woke up at 11 o'clock in the morning perfectly fine, and I have not had any chest pain since, even though I'm somewhat overweight and, you know, I can get out of breath, you know, climbing up a hill, for example, but never, ever get chest pains. So, you know, that was a nice healing for me, and it just reinforced what was going on. And it wasn't like, all of a sudden this stuff is real because I got healed. No, I got healed after I started feeling it anyway, you know. But I mean, people get healings like that all the time. And it is such a great joy and privilege to be part of a group, and especially on my part, to be part of a group where I can sit and read these healing reports with my colleagues. You know, we meet on the Internet, and maybe 10 doctors on the Internet, and go over them. I mean, it's such a privilege and joy to read them and to go over them. And these are like all little miracles, you know, and we're just grateful to be part of the whole thing.
Mm.
So that's my story.
It's a very wonderful story as well, and I'm thinking that not too many people perhaps would even dare to attempt what you did, but clearly your faith in God was your strength. Now, when you said about letting go, how do you deal with that? I mean, are you in your mind commanding the pain to leave you? I mean, how do you approach that letting go?
Well, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like imagining taking yourself and just saying to yourself, okay, I'm just going to jump off this cliff, you know? And just like let it, just say, okay, God, yeah, I'm in your hands, you know, and just completely releasing yourself, your body, your everything. And it's very hard to describe. How do I let go, you know? So I guess it's from all the training I had of, I mean, there are times when you're meditating or you're really not, you're just secure. You're not looking for reference points in your body or anything for that matter. And you just seem to be floating, and you're, in a sense, I think really what it is your soul is just, you're letting go of all the things that you are secure about. You know, your body image, your thoughts and your feelings. And you just say, okay, well, here, you can have it. Good Lord, you can have it. I don't need it anymore. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die. I'll be in your hands. That's all, you know. And so you just say, here, I surrender to you completely. You know, it's as if, me being a Christian, you know, I mean, of course, we are non-denominational. We have Jewish and Muslim. We have groups in Palestine and Jerusalem and Russia and in Iran. You know, so we're non-denominational. But in my case, you know, I believe strongly about Jesus. So I just said, okay, if Jesus were standing right in front of me now, what would I do? Well, so in my mind's eye, I'd say, well, I would bow down and give everything, my heart, my mind, everything, all my sins, all my goodness, whatever, bad stuff, good stuff, everything, because this is a direct connection to the Father. So that's the way I kind of let, so I took a breath and just, okay, let go. Just completely let go. And this thing just went away. It just went, all the pain and all the anguish and everything all went away. And I felt like I was free floating, you know?
Mm.
So that's, I guess, the best explanation I can come up with.
Quite incredible.
I don't think it's incredible. I just think, you know, when a man is desperate.
Well, it's really miraculous, isn't it?
Well, it is, but you know, miracles are just spiritual science, really.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, and Bruno said that. You know, it's a miracle, yes, it's a miracle, but it looks like a miracle because nobody's really practicing. But if you're practicing your spiritual practice, it's just part of the practice.
Yeah.
And you should, this was one of these books I saw out there, it's called Expect Miracles, or it's a saying or something, Expect Miracles, and I believe that. You should expect miracles. And that's what Bruno said. Nothing's impossible. Nothing.
Absolutely.
You believe that too, right?
Yes. I was going to say, after you recovered, did you then later have any medical checks that would ascertain whether or not you experienced a complete healing? In other words, was there still any damage to your heart?
You know, I should have, but I just have such an aversion. I've been doing alternative medical practice for so long, so I didn't do that, no. I didn't even have health insurance. I mean, I'm a medical doctor, and I don't even have health insurance, or I didn't at the time. But I guess I have it now through my wife. I mean, I do homeopathy. I take care of my family and myself. I felt that, well, why should I have health insurance for a medical practice that I really don't want to be done on to me anyway? You know, I'd rather do natural therapies, which they won't pay for anyway. So that's just me, you know, that's just me.
You're a rebel.
I really am.
Yeah. Right. Now, you've mentioned the circle of friends, and I would like you to tell us about them and their activities, but can I put my first question, a personal one here? Do I take it that the circle practice group healing, or are the circle of friends all individual healers in their own rights?
Well, you know, Bruno never said, I am a healer. He never said that.
Right.
He said that I am just a vessel. You know, I'm just a transformer.
Yeah.
God's the healer. So when we say, do we do group healing? Well, we meet in community hours, and in those community hours, we read about Bruno's life and what he said, and we also read poetry. We listen to this wonderful music, which, like I said, there are samples of it, beautiful, beautiful music on the Internet.
Yes.
And people get up and share their experiences. And then we do Einstein together, and everyone's quiet. Some people have their eyes closed. I think most have their eyes closed. And we tune in, and we ask at that time. I mean, when you're tuning in, you can be praying, you can be asking God, you can be thinking of something beautiful, thinking of something peaceful. You know, whatever puts you in that frame of mind, or whatever works for you, so to speak. I pray, personally. But so we do that as a group together, but kind of, it's kind of an intense prayer together. And so, especially during conferences where we do that for a long period of time, people's defenses start to break down, and this heilstrom starts to penetrate their tensions and allows this energy to flow, this vital force to flow inside, or what Bruno used to call the healing stream, yeah, basically. And when that happens, that in a group, of course, you know that the energy is increased exponentially. So if you have two people, it's like four times the energy. If you have three people, it's like nine, and so on. It squares, you know. So when you have 20 people, that's a lot of energy, or even 10 people, it's a lot of energy there for us to share. And we take it in for ourselves, but also as we take it in for ourselves, we radiate it out to others as well. So, and then of course, we do Einstein, where we ask for our loved ones, we ask for our friends, we ask for the circle of friends, people asking for help. We ask for the circle of friends. We ask for the world at large, for peace in the world, and not prosperity so much, but that people will have enough to eat, that the children will be protected. We ask for divine guidance, protection, and divine order. You know, he was German, so, you know, they're big on having the right order. And you know, nobody goes around saying, well, I'm a healer. But in essence, I mean, that's what's happening as we do Bruno's work long enough and strong enough. People who were once sick now have this strong flow going through them, and now they're asking for their friends and family, and all their friends and family are getting well, too. So in essence, yes, you could say, well, they're becoming little healers themselves. And that's the joy of this work, you know. Yeah.
Right,
But he was a very humble man, and we tried to keep that model going, you know. Wonderful, humble man who didn't ask for anything, didn't eat very much, didn't sleep very much. Had a few cents in his pocket. And, you know, just went around doing these wonderful things.
Yes. Well, having read his story on the web, he certainly was the most remarkable man. And I'm quite surprised, since I'm interested in healing myself, I'm still a healer, actually. I've never ever come across his name, at least not knowingly. And I would have thought he would have been quite well known, to say the least.
Well, yes, but, you know, that's like, that's like homeopathy in America. You know, why isn't homeopathy better known? Well, at least when I started it, anyway. It's one of the best medicines in the world, you know? But
yes,
it's been denigrated and downplayed and criticized and legislated out of existence, practically, because why? You know, we know why. It doesn't take a genius to see that, why would you want something that's so inexpensive and so readily available to the public, and people can actually help themselves a little bit, takes away from, you know, from business. But, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Now, if someone, say, lived in California and they were interested in joining a circle of friends, would they have to travel to the nearest one, or would they be expected to start one locally? I mean, how does that work out if someone's interested?
Well, we have a couple of hundred communities in America, which, considering the size of America, is not very much. And so the people who are too far to travel, we do have people traveling a couple of hours to go to community hours, but if it's too far to travel, we have remote communities that meet on the Internet so that at the appointed time, people will tune in. They have a password and their name, and they get on, and we can see each other's pictures, and people will take, well, the community leader will do what they were doing in person, only it's on the Internet. So people are sitting at home, you know, joining together from their homes. And
is that
you know, in the Dakotas, there's very little up there, and some of the larger, less Wyoming, less populated states.
Yeah.
But please, if you you never know, there may be a group right near you, and you may want to start one yourself.
Mm.
So, you know, if you get together 10 people talk to the people in charge, Mr. Richard Leo is the national leader. Talk to him, or on the Internet, all the numbers are there. Just email the inquiry, you know. And believe me, we have mentors from Europe that help tremendously. And I mean, when I got introduced, there was a kind of a blitz of 180 lectures that were being given over a period of several months. And behind that was a whole public relations, you know, calling and advertising and pamphlets and flyers and, you know, contacting. And a lot of that was done by people calling from Europe. I mean, there's a lot of friends in Europe, a lot of Bruno Gröning friends. There are about 60,000 of us worldwide. So they have a big, they really believe in organizing things well. And so if you put your inquiry in, you will be contacted.
What is the website address for people interested in doing that?
Okay, let me see. I will. Well, if you just Google Bruno Gröning, let me see. I'll get it for you. 1 second.
Right.
His name is spelled Bruno Gröning.
Right. Fine. Okay. So they can Google his name and come
Bruno
across all this information.
Gröning, Gröning.
Yes.
I'll give you the exact address right now if you'd like. Okay. The name of our group is the Bruno Gröning Circle of Friends, and the exact address is www.bruno-gröning.org/English.
Yes.
It's in many languages. The literature is in many languages. All the books are by donation. There's the lecture. If you click on the International University Lecture Series, of 2009 at the top of the page there, at the home page, you'll see some really nice camera work done on some of the big lectures. I've been privileged to be part of a group of physicians, seven medical doctors and a veterinary and a psychiatrist as well. And we went to St. Petersburg, Russia, and Toronto and Montreal and L.A., Washington, D.C. And like I say, next year we're going to be going to, just myself and three others, be going to South America. And so you can see where those lectures will be also. You can click on lectures. And then the film, we have a film, which is a documentary film. It's about 5 hours long, of Bruno Gröning's life. I saw it, the first time I saw it, it seemed like a regular length film. I mean, you know, it didn't seem more than an hour and a half. It was so engrossing, and you could really feel the energy through the film. Mm-hmm. So if you have a chance to see the film, I think the schedule will be there also on the website. That's a really great experience to see the film.
Yes, right. Yeah. Now, does it cost people anything to join the Circle of Friends?
I'm sorry?
Does it cost anything for people to join the Circle of Friends?
Well, it costs nothing. Absolutely nothing. And there's no joining. It's not a club. It's not a society or anything. You just become a friend. That's
right.
All. And you could leave any time. You could come any time. There's no, you know, there's no keeping or staying or joining. Or, I mean, if you haven't come to three or four community hours in a row, you know, two, 3 months in a row, then the community leader will come and will ask you and say, do you still want to be on the mailing list? Because we mail people complimentary schooling letters, they're called, every, I think it was three or four times a year. And so that costs Germany quite a bit of money. And so also having to mail it from Germany is quite a bit. So if you don't want to be on the list, then we can take you off, so save us the cost of having to send you these literature. But no, there's no cost at all whatsoever. When you would like a book or a CD, you choose it, and then the person who is the book table person takes that book and puts it up against their heart and does a little Einstein for it, for you, and hands the book to you, and you put in the donation box what you feel it's worth and what you can afford.
Yeah. Well, that's a wonderful arrangement.
Isn't that something?
You've mentioned community hours, I believe. What exactly are they? Are they the hours that you do the healing in?
Well, the healing comes about usually in these community hours. So, like tonight, when I finish with you, my wife and I are going to rush off to Wayne, New Jersey, where we're going to meet with about, I guess, 14 people over there. And we'll have, for about 2 hours, a community hour. So interspersed will be some of the music I mentioned, some poetry, and reading about Bruno's life, and also healings that have occurred, and also people getting up and sharing. And so it's just, and then we'll stop three or four times and listen to a piece of music and do the Einstein more formally and quietly, and then we'll... And this is when healings occur. And then, of course, during the regional conference and then the national conference, especially healings occur.
Yes. Now, I recall reading that Bruno had some specific advice in the way he recommended people keep healthy. Would you care to tell us what his views were on that?
Instead of keeping healthy? Yes, that's a very good question. And the Circle of Friends, you know, they don't talk much about nutrition or diet, you know. I mean, they're not much for drinking, I can tell you that right now. They don't particularly, you know, they don't really drink. But the thing that Bruno emphasized was the thinking. He said, change your thinking and believe. He said, trust and believe. God helps and heals. And if you trust and believe, then anything is possible. And so if you're thinking, oh, if I eat this, it'd be bad for me. Well, guess what? You know, even if it might just well be bad for you from the thinking. But if you think, you know, even though I'm in whatever, let's say somebody's in a prison camp, right? And they're a prisoner of war or something, right? And they've gotten nothing to eat practically. So, and if the person keeps a positive mind, says, no matter what this thing is I'm eating, it's going to help nourish me, then it will be more nourishing. The power that we have within us, the incredible capacity that a human being has, is untapped. Bruno said that what I do, what I am, is something that you all can do. You just have forgotten how to do it. Mankind has forgotten this ability, which used to be used all the time thousands of years ago. So the first step is to get control of your thinking and don't allow these negative thoughts to dominate or to poison you, so to speak, you know, or to give you tension. You know, this is the way that, you know, he said, observe your body. When you sit and do Einstein, observe your body. You go inside yourself, so to speak, and you feel what you're feeling. Well, sometimes, you know, if you're just starting out, you might feel like a big block of wood. You know, nothing is flowing in there. There's no light coming out. There's no light from within. There's nothing. And so what do? We ask. You know, ask and you shall receive. And so you ask God, you ask for help. And through this asking and through your belief, this thing will penetrate. And then the quote-unquote illness of which is not your true nature will then fall away. It's a process of letting go of the illness and allowing this higher force to take its place. But you must let go. This is really in essence. And this is why a lot of times people will go to the community hour and get a healing when they're not paying attention to getting a healing. Like I did, I got that shoulder. I wasn't thinking about healing, and I was getting healed. But if you hold on to, I want a healing, I want a healing, in other words, that's a way of holding on. It's a way of holding on to the illness. Bruno used to call it sitting on your illness. He said, you're just not letting go. You just give it to me, he said. I have broad shoulders, and I can take it. I can carry it for you. Yes. And he said, once you let it go, don't take it back. And he also said, I can't steal. So you have to give it freely. I can't take it from you. Mm. So that's where the letting go and the surrendering, so to speak, to this higher thing comes from, you know. I mean, I use the word surrender because that's what my teacher, when I first started all this 40 years ago, said to, you know, he called it surrender, but letting go and...
Yes.
And he said, it's not your true nature. Your true nature is happy, healthy, creative, alert, proper, orderly thinking, no tension, creative, you know. And that's the way it should be. That's like a child. Mm. You know, a child doesn't think. But as we get older, as we lose our childish innocence and positive and instinctive living, we become an adult, and when we become an adult, we start to think negatively, and we take on the tensions of the adult's responsibility. And Bruno used to say, it's like recharging your battery. He said, if as an adult, you were to sit down twice a day for whatever amount of time, some people just do it for 5 or 10 minutes, I like to do it 20 minutes, minimum myself, 20, no more than 40, but about 20 minutes twice a day if I can. Sometimes it's only once, but if you sit down and do that, you are then going to let go of this, you're going to recharge your battery. That's what he called it, recharging your battery. And that's what it's about. If you have a certain level of energy, you don't get sick. You just don't. And that's what it's all about. How many times have you heard, well, this one got sick, well, after that long divorce proceeding, or after his father died, or mother died, or dog died?
Yes.
You know, all these things, the stresses of life that take us, especially emotionally, take our breath away, literally, and then we don't recharge. And that's when sickness starts to take a hold.
Right. Is that what Bruno meant when he explained how an individual is able to obtain new energy? Is that what he meant, to recharge yourself up?
I'm sorry, I was looking at the time. I wanted to make sure we had enough time for our friend who's waiting so patiently with us.
Yes.
I'm sure I didn't miss the, I missed the question.
Well, I was going to say...
By...
I will, yes. I was going to say I'll make this the last question, and indeed I had the same thought about it being time to introduce Neil. I was simply asking, when Bruno... as I read, had a very simple way of explaining how an individual is able to obtain new energy. Is that in fact what you were explaining there by recharging yourself up?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yes. Fine.
Yes,
okay.
Recharging by opening up and absorbing this thing, this higher energy from above. And he also said, you know, feel your hands, feel your fingertips, feel your palms, feel the top of your head, feel your feet. In other words, a lot of times people will concentrate on these higher centers in the head and in the heart, but forget the rootedness of the feet and the lower body, so that it's a complete flow through the entire body.
Fine. Would you like to introduce Neil, and I don't know whether you would like to bring out the information that you have asked him to be on the program to give out? Or would you simply like me to ask him questions?
Well, Neil's pretty good about telling his story. He's a young man, a bright young man, who got caught in the grips of addiction. And I'm just going to let him tell his story. He's very good at it. And we toured the Northwest together, and many communities got started, and many people were inspired by his wonderful story. So I think we should give him the rest of the time.
And, indeed, yes.
I guess you can intersperse questions as you wish.
Great. Hello, Neil.
Hi. I guess I will tell my story. I will tell the short version, since I know that we don't have that much time, and it is a kind of a long story. But right now I'm 25 years old, and when I was 17, I had minor panic attacks and anxiety. You know, back then I really didn't have that many coping mechanisms. You know, I was young and didn't know a lot. So I went to the doctor, and he gave me a drug called Xanax, which is, I can't remember the classification of drug it is, but it's for panic attacks and anxiety, and it calms you down. And I took this, and it actually did help. It helped when I was having some anxiety and helped when I was having some panic attacks. And so I took it for several months, and I started to take more and more because I had to take more and more. It's called tolerance. If you reach a certain effect, and then you need more. But I took it for about a year, and I noticed that it made me feel kind of indifferent and flat. My personality really changed when I was on it. So I wanted to get off the drug and find out if I could solve my anxiety in another way. So I threw the medication into the toilet, and I thought, okay, I'm finished with that. And about 3 days later, I got hit with the worst, and I mean the worst, withdrawal syndrome, you know, probably similar to a heroin addict, what they experience when they go through withdrawal. I was shaking, I was burning all over, constant panic attack, I couldn't sleep, just extreme headache, insomnia, and, you know, when you get off of a drug, usually you have withdrawal for about a week and then it's over, but with this drug, I went several weeks staying off of it, and I still had the same persistent, horrible withdrawal symptoms. And it didn't go away. It didn't get better at all. And I knew I couldn't be making this up in my head, because I never had anything like this before. So after about a month, I started taking the drug again, and I felt better immediately. All the symptoms disappeared that I had. And I researched that Xanax is a drug that's very, very addictive, and you're not supposed to get off of it cold turkey. The strange thing about Xanax and other drugs in its class, like Valium, Klonopin, is they have a prolonged withdrawal syndrome, meaning that if you can have withdrawal syndromes, even severe ones, for months. In extreme cases, years, which is very rare. And so I decided to taper off of the drug, and I tried that. And I couldn't even do that. Even if I would try to shave off a little piece of the pill, I would get hit with horrible withdrawal symptoms, the same thing. And eventually, I decided, okay, I'm just going to stay on the drug. You know, I can't get off of it. So that was okay for a while. But after a while, I noticed I was becoming tolerant to it again. I had to keep taking more and more. And if I didn't take more and more, those withdrawal syndromes started to come back. And this was about 2004, and I noticed my body just kept getting weaker and weaker and weaker, even when taking the drug. And I had to give up things bit by bit. I had to give up my studies and had to give up a lot of activities, and just got to the point where I was so weakened by the drug that I couldn't do anything. I was basically bedbound. I couldn't even watch TV. It was too stimulating for me. Even talking to people was. And it was really like a prison, because here I am, even if I'm taking the drug, I'm sick, but if I get off this drug, I'm even more sick. So I had no idea what to do. And I just tried for about a year and a half every method imaginable to escape this, you know, nutrition, other drugs. I had a hospital stay. I tried tapering once more, and nothing worked. I was just completely in the grips of this, and it wasn't like I like this drug. It was simply addictive. I wasn't craving to take more, or, you know, going out and stealing things to buy more. It was more like a dependency. So after about 2 years of this, I was completely, completely desperate. You know, I had no answers whatsoever, and I had no idea what to do. So I even started to become suicidal, because that's normal in such a situation. And I just said a prayer to God. I said, God, please help me. I can't do this. I can't escape this. I need your help. I have no idea what to do. And I just poured my heart out. It was really the first time I had prayed sincerely in my entire life. When I prayed before, it was kind of mechanical, and you know how it is. And this time I just poured it out. And about 2 weeks later, I saw Bruno Gröning's website by chance, and when I was reading through, I just started to read drug healings, and I had the feeling this could help me, and I started going to the meetings, and I started taking in this energy, what Bruno Gröning called Heilstrom. He said there's an ancient energy which we've forgotten about, which you can take in at any time, any place.
Yeah. And Neil, can I just...
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Sorry, stop you there momentarily, because I've got very little time left and I need the last minute to announce next week's guest. Can you compress your final experience of healing into about 1 minute?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay,
well,
fine.
I was able to get off the drugs when being in this group. Like I said, I tried 2 years to tried everything to get off, but through taking in this energy and Bruno Gröning, I was able to get off the drugs with no withdrawal symptoms. And for me, that's unexplainable. I still can't explain it to this day. But it did happen to me, and I'm completely healthy now. And my story is on the website, so if you want to read more about it, there's a journal on the website, so if you can always read more about it, since we're out of time here.
That's great. Thank you very much. I'm sorry your story was a little bit short, but the main point is that you suffered in a very severe way, and the healing you received through the methods used by Bruno Gröning seemed to have worked very quickly and very satisfactorily, which is wonderful. So thank you for coming on the show, Neil, and also Dr. Michael Galanti. It went so quickly, it was so interesting and enjoyable. So thank you very much, my friends. And I will tell my listeners that, subject to confirmation, next week I hope to have Patricia Corey, who is a renowned author, teacher and spiritual guide, who has written many well-known books. So I'm hoping to get confirmation shortly, and I will let my subscribers know by email if that is the case. So thank you for being with me today. I'm sure you must have enjoyed these stories, and I hope you can be with me next week. God bless you all. Thank you very much.